Okay. So what is a Christian's community responsibility? And it's an excellent question. And as we started last week, we went over, first of all Christians have a responsibility to help those in need. And that's everybody. That's Christians and non-Christians. Okay, that is definitely our responsibility. I want to start from the beginning. That is something we must do. With that said, how do we do it? And where it became the problem, once again, this is where the ignorance has come in. We've dove in with other groups, once again, based on sight, not based on what the Bible says, because our relationship with the community who is of the world, and this is so important because remember the Bible says, who is under the evil one's control? Huh? You're saying it. The whole world. Whole world. Yes, whole world. So if the whole world is in it, there is no good community. Did y'all think about that? And there are sometimes Christians will go find a good community or a good organization or a good group, not a Christian one, and they'll go, I'm going to work with that. Not realizing he just said the whole world. Okay, so this is why he gives us the warning that we are not to love the world. That's why he gives us a warning not to befriend the world. Do y'all understand that? And when you start partnering with these organizations, it may start off as a beautiful relationship, and now you're set up. And this is what happened to a lot of the churches in which we're getting in with them. And even though we think we're doing the same thing, theirs is just to help based on the world. Ours is to help based on truth. Do y'all see the difference here? Okay, and we're going to have some problems. It's going to cause some issues, and we shouldn't have partnered with them in the first place. We also see that we're not to partner with them. It says, do not be unequally yoked, because our message is going to be vastly different. Y'all do understand that. It's going to be hugely different in many cases. Here, I can almost assure you, when it comes to drugs, and we were just talking about disassociation, the 12-step program and all that other stuff almost endorses wrong. If you pay close attention to them, okay? They are open to them, but they almost chase them and almost helps them within it, okay? You know, I mean, you have interventions. You have things where you chase a person. What the Bible is showing is until a person makes up their mind that they're going to stop, doesn't mean they're not going to have struggles. There's nothing you can do. Do you understand that? This is how even salvation works. Think about it. If it was, I just say this word and a person will change their mind. And how many of you pray for somebody to be saved? And you have some ministers even say, just keep praying and that person will be saved. That doesn't always happen, does it? Why? Because God left it to us to make the decisions. He gives us everything we need to make that decision. And then we don't make that choice sometimes. And that's the key. So in that, the community still works with it, or the world still works with it their way. We work with it God's way. Okay? So we're not to love or be friends with the community. We also got to be careful what we say to the community. We speak spiritually. They need an interpreter, and they don't have it. They say it is spiritually discerned. It means I have to have a spiritual interpreter, the Holy Spirit, to understand this word of God. So when I go into the community and I'm trying to give them what the Bible is saying, do you understand this? They're not going to get it. In fact, it's foolishness to them. Do y'all get that? It's foolishness to them. Okay? So when we do that, it even said in Matthew 7:6, do not give the dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them and under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. That's exactly what we're seeing happen. We gave them something. They don't understand it. And just like the person in church is saying that, but the world is saying that like crazy, in which they're like, oh, you Christians. Why? Because we preach to them as if they were supposed to understand it and not in the way that the Bible told us to preach. Does that make sense? And it gave them something that they cannot handle. So what we were supposed to do, and where we started with what we are to do in our community, must be through real love. That's a very important characteristic. And please know what real love is. If you have to read 1 Corinthians 13 all the time and 1 John, understand what real love is. Please stop using the world's definition of love. That is not love. Do you understand that? That emotional feeling and attachment you have is called desire in any form. Okay? Desire is not wrong, but it's not love. Okay? Desire is dependent on you. Love is dependent on God. Okay? And that's the other thing, too. Y'all do know love is unconditional, correct? True love is unconditional, right? No? No? What is it? conditions God. Okay, thank you. All right, good. All right, let's make sure y'all paying attention. All right, good. So, yes, exactly. Yeah, no, people love to use that. It sounds so wholesome. Love is unconditional. He told me not to love the world or anything in the world. Wait a minute. That's a condition. Right? Okay? I know they say what the world needs now is love, sweet love. Okay, that's a nice song, but that's not, no. No, it's not how it works. We need to get them out of the world, okay? So we're not supposed to do that. So we have to use real love. We must love others as we love ourselves, as the Bible has shown us, and that's by loving God, okay? And that's in a way where we display our doing what God says. So how do we love them? By doing what God says for them. Does that make sense? The minute I sway from that in any way, I'm hating. Remember the example I use for our children is there's many parents today who we don't know punishment at all. They learn, we talk, and they have this discussion, and it sounds wholesome and all this other stuff, and not realizing the Bible says, then you hate your child. I don't care what feeling you think you have. God made it very clear. You hate, just like he said, if you're friends with the world, do you hate me? Is what God is saying, right? So he's saying, you can call it what you want. He already gave us the answer. Does that make sense? Okay. So in all of these things, we have to make sure we're doing it his way to truly show love. And our purpose for our neighbor is for his good. And we know that only God is good. So I don't do it. I never do anything for somebody based on them. I do something for everybody based on God. Does everybody get that? Very important. Okay, because too many times we'll do stuff and we'll go. I remember one time there was a group that went out and they helped the community and they came back and they said, and you should have seen how happy they were. That's nice, but that was not the purpose. Do y'all get this? You know what I mean? You don't do it so they come out happy. You do it so they come out blessed. Does that make sense? You know what I mean? So sometimes we'll go do something to a place and we'll make them humanly better, but they're no better spiritually. In fact, sometimes it even set them back. That's where we have to be careful. So that's where we last left off, where it says give to the community what belongs to the community, but make sure we give to God what belongs to God. Amen? Okay, so we're starting in Luke 20, 22 through 25. He says, they were trying to trick him, and they says, is it right for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Okay, he saw through their duplicity and said to them, show me your denarius. Whose portrait and inscription are on it? Caesar's, they replied. He said to them, then give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give and God what is God. Very important. That second part, a lot of people miss that second part. In fact, there was people who used to use that first part in voting when he's trying to force Christians into voting. They was like, see, voting is what we're supposed to do. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's. He doesn't have my vote. It's not his either. Do you get where I'm coming from? Okay? So understand that. Now, once again, if you desire to do it, that's up to you. But don't get forced into it thinking it's our Christian duty. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell us to do it. However, when it says give to Caesar what Caesar's, he's talking about taxes. Are taxes unfair? God's like, yep, but I'll handle that. Right? Your job sometime. Are they sometimes treating you unfair? Yeah, but are you supposed to listen to your boss? Yep. You see what I'm saying? That's Caesar. All this is Caesar. The world is going to do stuff, and I can't protest when I know what they're doing is wrong, unless they're telling me to go against God. The only way I can not do it is when they tell me to go against God. Other than that, I'm always in things that are not right. But God's saying, I'll take care of that. I will revenge. You know, I'll take vengeance on that. So I have to give to the world. What is it? If I have to pay my rent and I know I'm paying more than I'm supposed to, right? All right. If I have to drive speed limit and there's no way I should be driving that slow. But you understand all that stuff. OK, y'all get where I'm going. But you put all that together and God is saying, I will take care of all that. Do you understand what I mean? But we better make sure we're following it because that's Caesar's. But when he says give to God what is God's, I'm not then supposed to give to Caesar what is God's. And that's what we've messed up on also. Some of us will give more money to organizations of the world and give absolutely nothing to God. Do you understand that? See, because now there was somebody who was giving their tithes and offerings. Remember how tithes and offerings work, that title, because it's really called grace giving. But the reason why we separate it, it's always a tithe or what you give to the church in order for the church to do its service of ministering and the offering to help those in need. Okay? The problem is a lot of people will give it to organizations and call it their tithes and offerings. Sounds great. But those organizations aren't in line with God. Does that make sense? Now, if a church says they're in line with God and they're messing up and you don't see it, they really go have to answer to God. I mean, they're in danger. However, you're supposed to give. That's God's. You have no right giving to some organization feeling self-righteous about yourself because you gave it to some organization that's doing what looks good. Does that make sense? Everybody with me? Okay. That's what he says. Give to Caesar what Caesar, but give to God. So when it talks about grace giving, you got to make sure your grace giving is done in a godly way based on God. All right. You don't just give to somebody and feel good about it and think you did your godly giving. God's going to go, you never gave to me. You stole from me. But God, I gave to the person next door. I gave to this organization that helps these people down in this other country. All sounds great. None of them are Christian organizations. Do y'all see this? Okay, by sight, you may go, what's the big deal? Spiritually, I think all of you will go, I see. Amen? Okay, so that's the thing we have to keep in mind. So give to Caesar what is Caesar. So we have to understand, in this world, we got to function in the right way. So how are we to be responsible to the community? How does this work? How do we make sure we follow and do it in the right way? First of all, we are responsible for looking out for the helpless in their distress, but not being influenced by the world. Watch what this says. James 1, 27 says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this. Now, everybody who starts reading that, and every once in a while who'll do that in the Bible, he'll say, he sets it up by saying, here's the answer. And this is one of those we all should highlight and go, he gave me the clear answer. A lot of times we read it just as another scripture, but not realize, no, this is one of those times he's saying, here's the answer. And we all should go, okay, I'm ready. And he goes, first of all, to look after orphans and widows. Now, the reason why he uses those two, okay, in an organization, the provider usually was the father or the man, okay? And in that, so first of all, the orphans are ones without parents. They're usually in organizations or people that are taking care of them and stuff like that. So they're without that provider. So that becomes the church's responsibility. Not, well, I'll do what I can. No, that becomes the church's responsibility. And widows, okay? Now, once again, 1 Timothy 3 gives a whole thing on a list of how to deal with widows. Do you understand that? But that becomes the responsibility. Why? Because they were dependent on their provider, the husband. Do y'all get this? Okay? So it's saying, but it says, in their distress. Does everybody catch that? In their distress. What some people used to do is they used to use this as an excuse because of the title. Because I didn't have any parents, you're supposed to give to me. Because I didn't have a husband, you're supposed to get. That's not what it says. Not what it says. It says in there, and a key word is distress. Now, if they go out and make a mess, there's a difference here. Do y'all understand that? Okay. So in their distress is when a burden or whenever comes on, it becomes the church's responsibility. So that's why you hear people say welfare and all that should have been in, and they're absolutely right. It should have been in the hands of the church, and the church should have handled it in the right way. But the church became this money hungry organization that got away from that. Okay. How we're supposed to help the poor is work, helping them to get work, helping them to grow, raising the ones that didn't have families. Dads, the men should be participating in relationships with the families who are fatherless. That's how it should be. Once again, due to people suing, due to people having things their way, due to us not being in the church that you're supposed to, in a sense, doesn't happen. Because people usually, I hate to say it, either the men want to do it their way, and the moms of the child want it done their way. Y'all see where I'm going with this? Even though there's only one way. Amen? Okay? And we have a problem then. But that's how it should be. So that's that first part. Very important. Okay? The second part is, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Look at that there. Keep yourself from being polluted by the world. Now, a good example. I know some people, once again, in our self-righteousness means, so that's why I don't watch this, and I don't listen to this, and I don't look at this, and I don't do this. And all sounds great. It's not what he said. Okay? You're still in pollution. You got where I'm coming from? You're still in pollution. You're surrounded by pollution. Keep yourself from becoming polluted. Did y'all catch that? Keep yourself from becoming polluted. And what that means is, I'm going to question anything and not allow my feelings or experiences to dictate anything. Why? Because they're usually influenced by senses, not by faith. In other words, you're going to go through some situations, and just like the young lady Sis was talking about, what she went through is now taking her away from God. Now, I know some are feeling bad and like, oh, man, see what the church is doing. Yeah, the church is wrong in that. But nothing should take us away from God. If something shifted me from God, the person I need to go to is God. Do you understand that? And what churches have done sometimes, we made ourselves these pulpit. We have all the answers. So whatever answer we give, you take it. Do you understand that? And this is why I'm trying to teach so you have it. So you have your, and that's why I say check me, because the minute I go astray, I want you to be able to go, okay, it's time for us to go find the church that's teaching what this word is saying. And that's what your responsibility is. Because you're going to go into situations, you're going to feel strong about something. How many of you have been there? You've been in something, and you know what the Bible says, but you just struggle with something you've seen. Now, how you react is if you were polluted or not. Does that make sense? Okay? And that's the key. If it was infected or not. You were around an infection because at the time it looked like this, but if you now change your attitude and the way you are, you have been polluted by the world. Does everybody get that? Does that make sense to everybody? And why is that so important? Because we'll start going and having this emotional attachment when it comes to helping the community, doing it in a wrong way, and we'll end up enabling people instead of serving people. Amen? You with me? Any questions? Okay, good. So, and we must respect all worldly authority. Okay? In being responsible to the community, we have to respect all. Now, I'm going to read this and I'll show you. When this is in 1 Peter 2, 13 through 17, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men. Now, what that means is you in your own desire may dislike somebody in charge, but when they're in charge, you need to respect them. And not, well, I gotta respect them because they are the president, as the Bible says. You better show the same respect for the other president as you show for the last president. Y'all get where I'm coming from? Now, by all means, you can pray about it. By all means, if they're doing something wrong, you can talk about it. You don't just sit there and accept everything they're doing wrong. That, nothing wrong with that, but it's right to understand, but they're still the police chief. They're still the, do y'all get where I'm coming from? Unless they tell you to go against God. It says whether to the king as the supreme authority or to the governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Stop there for a minute. And I should have highlighted that. When I do this, don't care who that person is, foolish men have nothing on me. Does that make sense? Even though they're wrong in what they're doing, I still got to show respect. Amen? And God's saying, once again, I'll take it from there. Not, it's not for me to go fix, okay? And he says, live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. So sometimes some of the protests, some of the things we participate in, go against it in the wrong way. And we got to be careful on that. I'm not saying protesting is all wrong, and I'm not saying not to. And in many cases, they're very, as the Bible shows, we have to be a voice for those who don't have a voice, for those who are, the Bible is very clear about that. But on the other end of that, sometimes when we do it just to go against it because we don't like it, that's where Christians have to go, I can't. Do you understand? I don't necessarily agree with them, but they are in charge. Does that make sense? They made the rules. Okay, and he says, live as free men, but don't let your freedom as a cover up for evil. Live as servants of God. That's the key. Okay, not as a black man, not as a white man, not as a poor man, not as a rich man. None of those should define you. I am a servant of God. Does that make sense? Who happens to be a black man? Y'all get where I'm coming from? Okay, so in that, what defines me is my Christianity. So who do I answer to is what it's saying. Do I answer to the black community or do I answer to God? Do I answer to the white community or do I answer to God? This is why presidents have a problem, because they have a constituent. And the reason why I know there has not been a Christian president is because the only one they'd answer to is God. You hear them go, I can't do half these laws, can't follow this, because it's against God. Please vote for me. You understand that? And they were like, if God wants me in, he'll get me in. If not, that's what you would hear. You don't hear that. They pick a group. They kind of sway. They pick and choose. They allow some. They hate others. And that's where you know. And it's never been where they've been consistently God. It's saying in 17, show proper respect to who? Everyone. I'm going on a sidebar here real quick, because this is one thing we tend to do wrong in parenting. We usually teach our children respect for us and not for God. Now, why did I say that? Because I remember I heard a parent one time. They got mad because the child said something to them, and they lit the child up and how everything went. And after it was, their response was, they're not going to talk to me that way. And I was like, okay, that's great. I understand that. However, are you teaching them respect, or are you teaching them just to respect you? Okay? And where we mess that up, if you don't teach them respect, you already blew it. They might respect you. They may not talk to you that way. But when they go out in the world and how they are with their teachers and how they are with the principal and how they are with the crossing guard and how they are with the school bus, all of that, you have to treat it the same. They need to see the same intensity. That's why he says show proper respect to everyone. Okay? And that's something we have to teach, respect. And that's something we don't teach nowadays. We kind of teach this self-confidence and they must respect me, but I don't have to respect them. Then he says, love brotherhood of believers, fear God, honor the king. You see how that breaks it up? And it actually goes in that order. Love brotherhood of believers. First of all, I have to have that love and that combination with Christians. I have to have that because we need each other to get through this. Okay? Fear God. That means every time you do something, you better make sure it's in line with God. When you see fear God, it can't be what I thought, but what I felt. What I don't see a problem with. All of that drives me crazy. The only reason why it drives me crazy is because I'm fearing God. Do y'all see that? You know what I mean? It should drive you crazy. Does that make sense? You have a question?
Live as free men.
Yep.
So is that pertaining to... You know that, well, back to where for it's God's will. I've been doing good, you should silence. So you're believing in, your freedom is that you believe in God. It's going to take care of things? Or what does
freedom
that mean?
Is you're no longer under the law.
Okay.
Yep. When you hear in the New Testament it talks about free, we're no longer under the law. So in other words, somebody's not going to come and stone you now. Somebody's not going to come and put you in front of a high priest. Nobody, you know, you understand? That's what he's saying. So you're free now. But don't now use that freedom to cover it up as evil. Does that make sense? Stuff you couldn't do under the law that you would get killed for, they're saying. It was like, okay, now you're free. Remember, said everything's permissible and not everything is beneficial. Now it's left up to us and through the Holy Spirit and conviction and all that. While before, you did it, you got punished. He's saying, now you do it, or you're going to get punished, but not immediately. Does that make sense? Okay, so we're free. We're free from being under the law. So everybody get that, okay? Did that help? Okay, so that's what that means. That's why you'll see that free in the New Testament many times. Okay? So as I said, love the brotherhood of believers, fear God, and then it ends it with honor the king. Whoever the leader is, give him his honor. Does that make sense? Give him his honor. You got it. You know what I mean? All right. President so-and-so and however we do it, and you go in that way. Does that make sense? Amen? Okay? And it's a tough thing sometimes, especially when we don't like their policies and we don't like what they are, but it's not about us. And it's not even about their policies, so keep that in mind. Okay? Obeying God always trumps obeying man. So this is the key. Here's the key point when you can reject or go against or protest. Acts 5, 27 through 29 says, having brought the apostles, they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. We gave you strict orders not to teach in the name, he said. Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teachings and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. Peter and the other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than men. Now, understand this. This is going to fall into certain things that you got to keep in mind, that there's going to be certain things that man's going to tell you to do that does go against God. Does that make sense? And you got to be very careful of some of these things. Okay? And this is where we as Christians have to do it truly, and we have to recognize what that is and not use it as a cover up for our own ideologies, but understand, you know, I mean, schools may try to force certain teachings. They can teach whatever they want, but when they try to tell a child, now you have to blah, blah, blah. For instance, they're going to tell, they still have to read those books. So they're going to talk about, you know, like in New York, all the school curriculum has to show, when they talk about relationships, they got to show same-sex relationships. And the kids have to learn that. Now, if parents don't teach that, kids are going to be confused. Do y'all understand that? Okay? So you must make sure you're clearing them up on that. But if they were to force the kids to be in one or something like that or to accept it, then the child can go, no. Does everybody understand that? Child can go now. Just like even this whole cup, the whole cupcake thing about the person making the cupcakes or the cake for the wedding, and the other one had to make it for some other thing for, and it was for the thing, and they said, due to my beliefs, we can't support that. You may even do it through your business clothes now. You have to say, I can't support. Now, be careful on that. Like I said, we talked about it before, because they probably served cakes to people that were divorced, probably served cakes to people who were witches, probably served cakes. You got where I'm coming from? They picked and choose. So this is why when you start having a business in the world, you better be careful when you make a stand, because you may think, man, I feel God strong in the Lord, and then God's going to go, but what about these other three? Hypocrite. Right? That's what I'm saying. Our righteousness has to be very compassionate. It has to be very careful. Don't pick and choose, because a lot of times we pick stuff that we don't like in the name of the Lord and not what the Lord doesn't like. If it was really God, you'd see a lot of stuff we wouldn't be doing. Amen? Everybody with me? Okay. So he says we must obey God rather than man. So you go in these community things, and no matter what, nothing trumps God. Now, we are to pray for everyone. So that's a huge part of doing for our community. 1 Timothy 2:1-4 says, I urge you, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. Are we doing that? That's one of the biggest things you can do for your community. They may never see it, but that's one of the biggest things you can do for your community. Okay? He says, requests, prayers, intercessions, thanksgiving. Do y'all get that? Okay? Must be done. All of those are very important things that we must put out there. It says, and then it shows, even in levels, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all good godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior. So we're supposed to pray for our government and pray for things to be cool the best they can until, you know, tribulation and everything kicks in. You understand that? Who wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. So the whole reason is we got to pray for the community to allow me to minister to the community. Y'all get that? Okay? Make it God so even those in charge will make it so I can at least go out there and minister. You know what I mean? That it's not going to be a pain, or it's not going to hinder me from going out there and ministering like we're supposed to. It's saying this is what God wants. Does everybody get that? Amen? Questions? Mark, you look like you have a question. I don't know why. You just look like it. Not a question. All right. Are you not quite? Are you not sure if you have a question? Just pick up the mic.
I don't think I have a question, but it made me think of what I heard someone say on TV today about the trying to pass this law about hatred. What do you call it?
Yep. Hate speech.
And then that even if you say, if you're a Christian and you say something about someone else not believing the same way you do, it's called a hate crime.
Yep. And there's some truth to it. And some, now, where Christians failed is we became friends with the world in that. You got where I'm coming from? Because what you're saying is true, because somebody can come to church, and you have groups that are purposely going to organizations that they know dislike them, okay, and they'll hear a sermon that you're showing out the Bible very clear. Do you got where I'm coming from? Okay. And after you say that something, then immediately, hate speech. And they're doing it purposely because they think they're cleansing things. Like some people are making Huck Finn's book, and we know the offensive language that's in that, equal to the Bible. Because physically, they're absolutely right. Right? Fleshly, there's some offensive stuff in this Bible. Fleshly. Spiritually, we know, no. There's history, it's understanding, and all that stuff's in there. Huck Finn's offensive in many cases. Do you get where I'm coming from? But it's a classic, and it's just that. Do you see how would they equal the two? So now they're like, let's get rid of that, but let's also get rid of this. And they're absolutely right. But now, when we fight it the world's way, you'll see the problem. That's where the prayer comes in. That's where the prayer comes in, absolutely. Because, you know, because unfortunately, when we accept that side and say we win that battle, there's other stuff that the world will allow that are against God. Keep that in mind. Okay? All right. But, yeah, absolutely. All right. Realize the purpose of our riches. 1 Timothy 6:17-19, command those who are rich. Now, I want to stop there for a minute, because it's also showing that every Christian is not going to be rich. I know the prosperity ministry will teach every Christian is supposed to be rich. He just said, no, command those who are rich. That means there are going to be some that are rich. Okay? And he said, God, why did God allow them to be rich? Why? He says, in this present world, not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth. Now, that's very important that they must recognize, because somehow, sometimes when they have money, you tend to start feeling It's because I deserve money. In fact, I'm favored. I was supposed to have money. While God's going, no, that was not the reason. Don't ever pat yourself on the back and think because I worked harder, because I did better, because God likes me better. No. He says to them, which is so uncertain. He says, your riches are uncertain. You're put in a position. He says, which is so uncertain, but put their hope in God who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. So first thing of their ministry is going to show that they trust in God, not their riches. That's the first part. And then it says, and command them. You notice it didn't say suggest to them. Did y'all notice that? It says command them. Command them what? To do good, to be rich in good deeds. So that means, see, now, some of us, who, like I said, who are 100 heirs, probably can reach one or two people. Praise God. Reach those one or two people. Stop trying to do the millions of people. Some of us have money who can be million and billionaires to reach many people. Then by all means, reach many people. Do y'all get this? Okay? See, what the rich people do is still reach two people. Remember, and he goes on percentages. Because remember, what a tithe. What is a tithe? A tithe is a tenth. And the difference between a tenth of 100 and a tenth of 1,000,000, vastly different. Do you understand that? And God's looking at the tenth. So if he was doing audits, and I gave, and that millionaire gave more than the person who only had $100, the one still, if he didn't give a tenth, he's still in trouble. Do y'all get that? And that's what he's saying. Command them to do good and to be rich in good deeds and to be, what's the next word? Generous. Now, here's what the definition generous in Keith terms, if you want to understand it, the best of how the Bible puts it. It is when you gave even more than you had to give, you even give more than that. That's generous. Okay? When you gave even more than you had to give, you give more than that. That's generous. See, when I give more than I had to give, that's nice. Nothing. that's nice. Okay, but it's saying, no, generosity is when I go above and beyond. Do you understand? I way more than I even had to give. Does that make sense? Okay, that's what he's saying. That's generosity and willing to share. Now, the willing to share is if you give with the mindset of if they don't appreciate it, I'm not going to give it again, don't give because you're already in trouble. If you give with the mindset of they better give me back, don't give, you're already in trouble. Might as well keep your money and enjoy it because you're already in trouble. Do you understand what I mean? All right? And the point I'm putting is you got to do with the mindset of this is not mine. And you'll give and they may be the most bitter people and you're happy because you're serving God, not that person. Does that make sense? How many of you have ever done something for somebody and because of their lack of appreciation, I'm never knowing nothing for them again. You blew it because it wasn't for them. It was for God. Do you understand that? Now, if you don't do it for them again because you think it's hurting them, that's one thing. But make sure you're making that a statement, not that you're mad because they didn't say thank you, because they didn't do what you thought they should do, because when you wanted something, they didn't give it to you, and you're not always reminding them of it. Do you get where I'm going with this? Willing to share. It says, in this way, watch this, they will lay up treasures for themselves as firm foundation for the coming age so that they may take hold of life that is truly life. Now, do you notice what he said in that last line? He's saying, I'm saying this for their safety. This is for their eternal safety, rich people. Y'all got that? Okay. Now, I can stop here because we have very little here and then just kind of finish it up next week, God willing. Or do y'all want me to finish it up? All right, we'll stop. All right, so we'll stop and then we'll clear the rest of it up next week then, God willing. And then we'll come back. Any questions? Okay. And one thing I don't, because one reason I don't want to do it, I don't want to rush through it. And it hinders or take away from. So it gives you some stuff to feed and read off of and then go from there. And then we can take it from there. Amen? All right.